Hello everyone, I'm Adrifting, and today I'm going to be talking about a very unique Chinese web novel. The title is called This Lich Needs More Money. The Chinese title is 这个巫妖得加钱. It's written by the nine lives of a fat cat, 九命胖猫. And it's a very unique story in the way it's being written. Before I get into This Lich Needs More Money, I really quickly want to talk about like a prologue. I was deciding whether to even include the segment or not, but then I made the executive decision that I would. So let's talk about this real quick before we get into This Lich Needs More Money and I elaborate on all the context of the titles, because there is a lot of terminology I'm going to be going through. While I was watching some various content creators from Marquise Brownlee, MKBHD, Mr. Boss, and all that, especially about YouTube retirement, I had to like consider like what I wanted to do, how I wanted to go about it, and I think I've elaborated on this before through various methodologies. But one thing I was really influenced by was an author who wrote, right? Authors should not spend too much time explaining themselves because it takes away from what they write, right? And in that sense, I feel like a lot of these meta conversations or explaining myself, while great for the audience, is not necessarily the content I want to produce, right? I'd rather spend more time producing what I want to create, making the content I want to create. But I do think, a little bit of transparency goes a long way toward mediating some tension that builds up for the lack of explanation or lack of transparency. But if you haven't noticed, a lot of my web novels, in my opinion, I feel like I'm very quick to praise and slow to criticize. Now, there are moments where I criticize other things, but you'll notice most of my reviews, I have yet to come out with a web novel I explicitly say I don't like. I'm just not of that style. The way I create videos is I want to create something that no one else has created, simply for the fact that if I don't create it, no one will, right? Oftentimes there's this sense that if someone's already created it, why should I create it again, right? Maybe it's to include my own opinion, do something new. I think everyone wants to chase novel and new things, right? There's a reason why I don't do popular titles The Legendary Mechanic. One is I often put myself down, so you can also think of it as, shying away from success, like I'm preventing myself from achieving bigger success, but maybe that's not necessarily my goal. Because I don't cover the larger titles that I won't get the recognition that I may crave, or that I won't get the recognition that others may get, but also simply for the fact that I just don't cover the content, which I think I'm okay with. But it's just interesting perspective to see, right? Like, a lot of people say, other people create it, but they may have not created as well as you do. And I kind of don't create it out of fear that I can't make it as good as they can. And plus, I think, if someone else can make it, then that's even better, because then, I don't need to spend my effort and time and energy to create something that someone else will create, because, they've done that for me. Yeah, I find that perspective a little bit awkward and weird in a sense, but I also find that just interesting. Like, I initially started creating stuff because I just couldn't find any web novel content. There was no one talking about it. Or if they were, they weren't creating things that I wanted to see. So, the famous saying goes, like, to make the future come to today, it's just going to cost something, right? And so I want to make the content that no one else is making, simply because if I don't make it, no one else will. So it's just that kind of self-conceitedness in my own conceitedness way. So yeah, a lot of my content is based toward praising a specific web novel or analyzing what makes it unique, kind of like a story collector. Now, I have a very interesting metaphor for this, which is like reading web novels is like mining diamonds, right? Oftentimes you'll find a diamond in the rough, which is, a web novel being written, and you want to see what that will turn out to be. You have no idea the potential of what you've picked up is going to be amazing, or it's going to be awful, right? Like, that's why it's called the diamond in the rough. Sometimes you might find a hidden gem, and if it's not to my standards, well, it's still a gold nugget. It's still good, but maybe it's not something that I have the ability to praise or turn into a hidden gem, right? Because I'm not the one creating these. I'm more just finding them and picking it up. So, subscribing to the Anton Ego's theory of criticism in Ratatouille, which is that, critics should be quick to praise and to praise in defense of the new rather than defending, like gatekeeping or whatnot. So that's a whole different conversation of itself. But because of that process of trying to strive for quality over quantity, at least my perception of quality over quantity, it means I have to be much more selective, right? And my previous standard used to be, I would go back and reread a web novel that I've already read, and if I still experience the emotions that adrenaline of excitement from reading something that I previously enjoyed reading and it still holds up, that I felt like it was I held something that I could praise, right? But because of that style, right, where I have to constantly go back and wait, I will consume more than I create, which I think is a good balance. It's very sustainable in that way, which means, I impose my own standards for quality of content. But it also means it's slow. I'm not going to be able to pump out quantities such as, like just pumping out what I read and just reviewing what the best of is, right? I just don't have that speed, and I don't think I want to go that route anyway, especially with web novels, just taking my time, taking it slowly. But I think it's just fun to do it this way, where it's like, I pick web novels. But at the same time, that also means I have a content problem, which means I'm not going to be able to upload weekly, even though I want to, because I'd have to go through my reading list. And then there's a lot of web novels that I've read that I just don't discuss because I feel like it takes too much energy, right? Because the energy spent creating would be time taken away from spent consuming. So I need to find that good balance of consuming and creating. Some recently great titles that I just didn't cover. One is because I felt like I do a little bit here and a little bit there. I was previously doing a lot of Chinese web novels, then I moved to Japanese web novels, and then Korean web novels, and then popped around between podcasting and video. I'm still undecided whether this is going to be a podcast or a video. I probably do want to make this a video, but it's just an option on the table. Just going to change how I create my how I discuss this, but right, I don't want to stick to one genre too much because I don't want to like not just get pigeonholed into a niche, but like set my sights too low. So I want to be able to see more things, collect more, and then from those perspectives, be able to introduce a lot more from all the stories and narratives I've collected because there's so many different openings, there's so many different beginnings to a story, endings to a story, even the middle, that you can fully express that and describe what makes a certain web novel unique compared to others without criticizing other things. And the flip side to that is sometimes the worst criticism is not criticizing something, because this is the theory of all publicity is good publicity, because but maybe the biggest criticism is not discussing it at all. But that's if you subscribe to that, philosophy that all criticism is good criticism. So yeah, I originally was thinking about whether I was going to compare this web novel to the Sand Weaver. How does the title go? Sand Weaver of the Burnt Desert, or Sand Man of the Burnt Desert. It's a very unique protagonist. The main character's name is Zeon. He is the only sandmancer or sand mage in a desert post-apocalypse environment. Very, very interesting route. But I noticed that playing both web novels, comparing them off each other, I think would be doing a great disservice to both. One, because I wouldn't be paying full attention to one web novel, and two is, they are both prospective web novels in their own rights. And sometimes I don't cover web novels, not because I don't like it, but more because I do not have the ability to make it as good as I think it can be, right? Like some web novels may be more niche or not to my taste, and while I may criticize and I may, give my own opinion, I don't think my opinion is objectively correct. I just think my opinion is something only for me that I enjoy, that it may be others, but I don't think it's indicative of the greater population. It's only my personal opinion. So I'm slow to criticize because not just the fear of being wrong and a fear of success, but also, well, it is a little bit of that, but also because, actually, it's probably mainly just because I have a fear of success and just the fear of being wrong, but also because, I might not fully understand it from that angle. So I don't have the ability to fully go in depth into why a certain web novel may be great. Like I enjoy Solo Leveling, The Legendary Mechanic. I read those web novels. I thought they were very interesting. Maybe not to my taste, but I can understand why someone enjoy it. But I think someone who enjoyed it more would be able to cover that better and more in depth. That's why I did stuff like The Great Storyteller, because I fully enjoy that web novel. I reread that multiple times, and I can say I do enjoy it. But if I try and cover The Legendary Mechanic, which I have read, and I wouldn't reread again, it would be hard and disingenuous for me to try and cover something that I didn't fully enjoy. And so that was a little bit difficult for me. But I will mention their titles. I will mention the impacts, and I'll get into the N series or categorization of web novels. It's a personal system I developed. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, there are some great Korean web novels that I recently read. I just guess I'll quickly go over the titles because a lot of this gets lost in time. Very interesting genre. A lot of mages web novel, a lot of weak to strong protagonists. There was the terminally ill raid leader, so a lot of dungeon web novels. It's a Korean genre. The medicine-taking genius wizard. There's a lot of necromancer and mage's web novel. They always do a very, very good job of characterization. And main protagonists. Even harem is, I think, slightly better in Korean than Chinese, but it's very much a taste preference. The Japanese light novels also have a very interesting harem. Honestly, you need a good balance because if you go too much into Japanese, the harem protagonists do get annoying, but you go too much into the Korean and you get very jaded in that hyper-realistic, hyper-dramas get too dramatic, and so it's kind of hard to read. And the Chinese is a little too straightforward, so you need a good balance, and that's why it's very nice to hop between genres. Even English web fictions like Royal Road, it gives you a different taste, so you are constantly exposed to different genres rather than the same thing. Not saying that's correct, but that's just how I do things. Anyway, yeah, so terminally ill raid leader, medicine taking genius wizard, the genius wizard who sees rainbows. I know these are popular. I know these are famous. I just can't bring myself to read them. There are strong fan bases, and these stories are very strong on their own right. They just don't appeal to me. So unfortunately, I cannot cover them to the best of my ability. But yeah, anyway, but let's go on to This Lich Needs More Money. I never actually went into the introduction. So the introduction on Cheetient is three sentences. He made a paladin give him 5,000 pieces of gold. He is a master of undead. He is a ma he is an he is a he is an undead master who is proficient in human nature. Now, as soon as I read that summary, I instantly thought of one web novel and one web novel in particular, Blackstone Code. Now, I discussed this before in a podcast in 2021. I often like to bring up dates just to say, "Oh, I saw this at this time," right? Because it's like hitching my horse to something popular. But Blackstone Code was a very unique web novel that really went into the intricacies and darkness of human nature. Something along the lines of Parasite, Squid Game, just a lot of those ones, even Kill the Hero. Like a lot of Korean web novels go much more into the cynical, pessimistic path, even political path. Sandweaver of the Burnt Desert was one of those web novels that went that political darkness path. We see that with a lot of apocalypse web novels, where it kind of covers the darkness of human nature, and it was a little bit too dark for my taste. Something like Never Die Extra is a little bit more lighthearted on the English web fiction side, even The Perfect Run. But that's a very, it's not quite a grim, dark setting, that's a genre, but rather it delves into the intricacies and dramas of people, right? The different human faces, the people's driven toward a certain outcome, right? Very desire-based, very rational system, right? A lot of mages' web novels are in that. So when I thought of that, I instantly thought of Blackstone Code. Blackstone Code is a really dark financial web novel. It's urban fantasy. They did a great job on that. But it was one that I couldn't cover because it got too dark for my taste, and I only made it to chapter 200. But it's a very interesting web novel. And along those lines, I'm going to introduce my system, the N system. So there's this metaphor in Chinese web novels that goes, you stand on the second level of the pagoda, right? This goes to a metaphor about Chinese pagodas, which is Chinese pagodas are like towers. They're like tea houses or whatever. And they're kind of like ancient skyscrapers, right? They go up to like seven floors high or whatever. And so each level indicates like a higher level of viewing angle. So if you're on the first level, like that means, oh, you have the qualifications to stand there. And then the second level, you're slightly higher than other people. So a lot of people think they're on the first level of the pagoda, thinking that they're on the second level of the pagoda, but I'm actually on the third level of the pagoda. So this is just that indication of, you think you're at this level, but then I'm slightly above you. This goes back into Chinese wuxia tropes and power leveling. But in a similar sense of power leveling, where it's like, I think I see further than you, N series is a series based on math where it's N, N plus 1, N plus 2, which categorizes everything from meta web novels, right? So you have N level, which is the base level, N plus 1, which is a slightly more meta web novel, like Novels Extra, N plus 2, which is a Novels Extra's Extra. So that goes from a classic storyline to a regressor do-over storyline, to a regressor's do-over storyline, where it's like you are in the web novel, but you see the regressor, so and then you have but then you have foreknowledge of that regressor's actions, right? So something like the Novels Extra is an N plus 2 level web novel because you have the story, you have the regressor, and then you have the author of the regressor who knows the story's previous route. So that's why it's N plus two. It's a meta level web novel. So N plus two comes from mathematical series, right? Like A plus one, A plus two. So complete the math series. So N plus two can also mean levels of complexity. In computer science, it's O log notation or big O notation. That's orders of power. But for web novels, we're just going to stick with the classic math level. So in terms of N, we'd call it terms of complexity, like bits of entropy. Computer science, I would be right. Levels of complexity. And I order levels of complexity by chronological order of what came first. The levels of complexity relevant to me, right? So, like things like losing money to be tycoon would be a little bit of N plus one, but I consider that a base level web novel for that genre of losing money as a system. The N is relative, right? So, N pl losing money to be tycoon would be an N plus one level web novel, but on my end system, if I consider that the base, then I'm going to build upon that. And you'll see how that use that in a little bit. But anyway, this lich needs more money. Let me quickly introduce the title and the author really quick again. So this lich needs more money. The Chinese title is 这个巫妖得加钱. Oh, I should have did that at the beginning. 这个 means this. 巫妖, 巫 is, I think would be synonymous in the Chinese language for ghoul or the undead. Yao meaning monster, like Yaoguai is a monster. So an undead monster or a ghoulish monster would translate to lich. De is a grammar term. De jia means needs, translates to needs. Jia in Chinese means to add, it's like the math term. And then qian is money. So jia qian is to add more money or, you know, requesting more money. And de jia qian is to add more money. The author's name, Nine Lives of the Fat Cat, the ninth life of the fat cat, jiǒu mìng. Jiǒu meaning nine, mìng meaning lives or, Mingyuan can also mean like the fate, but in this case it just means life. And then Pang Mao, Pang is fat, and then Cat Mao is cat. So that's that. So this lich needs more money. 这个巫妖得加钱. By, Jiǒu Pang Mao. Sorry to remember the Chinese name. The ninth life of a fat cat, the nine lives of a fat cat, is very unique because it talks about an undead monster. Right? We see this trope very classic with Overlord. Stop friendly fire, basically, or even green skin, right? Goblin teeth, green skin, goblin kingdom, where our protagonist is a non-human protagonist, and so it goes into the various ideas of races and whatnot. The tags really quick before we get into it is 种田, which is farming, sorry, 魔法, which is magic. And the last one is, if I remember correct, it's 至尊王者, which just means, which translates to supreme king or just a legendary figure. And we'll get into what those mean in a little bit, farming magic and 至尊王者, which is a supreme king or powerful figure. But yeah, as I said before, we start off with a non-human protagonist, which means we'll get into the classes of racism. This is a magic fantasy web novel. 玄幻魔法, 玄幻 meaning fantasy, 魔法 meaning magic. 玄幻 usually refers to Western fantasy rather than Eastern fantasy, but it's all the same. Hopefully, we'll get into light and dark differences. But because we start with a non-human protagonist, we will see elements of racism between like beastkin and whatnot. And there are various inflection points. There's chapter 20, where we get into the main plot. We see our main character from this weak to strong protagonist. We learn a little bit more about the history. Chapter 60 and chapter 80 are huge turning points. And then chapter 100 is really what locked in my decision that redeemed itself. I thought chapter 60 was going downhill because I thought it was going one direction. But as soon as I saw chapter 100, it kind of reaffirmed my faith in what type of web novel this would be. And I kind of can make my predictions on what it will kind of turn into. So it was very similar to titles such as evil, what is it? Evil magic will not deceive you. Yeah, evil energy will not deceive you by the white glasses cat, 白眼睛猫, oh, white-eyed cat. But yeah, evil fell will not deceive you. The Chinese title is 邪能并不会欺骗你. Xie meaning evil energy, xie neng, meaning energy, 邪能并不会欺骗你，evil energy or evil magic won't lie to you. But we'll discuss a little bit of that when we get into the end level web novels and distinctions. So we have an undead protagonist. He's a very weak protagonist, and we soon later come to learn more about his background as a very powerful mage, but he's a newly promoted legendary mage. So what does that mean in the power scale? Well, you have the mortals, which is the regular magics. You have the mortal protagonist, which is, the MC style, slowly power up. You have the demigods, right, which is in this case the legendary status web novel. That's our main character. That's what the Zizhu Huangzi, the Supreme King title, comes from. So it's a powerhouse web novel. So it's not completely weak to strong, but he's weak in that level. And then you have the gods, right? So from that power level structure, you can see it's a god level web novel. And in the god level web novels, let's go back to the end series. Base level, you have things like Cthulhu Gonfalon, right? I Am a God of Games, right? Those are end level web novels. Other end level web novels would be God Ranked Hero. That's really old. It's like 2013, 2014 published. Magic of the World Tree, that was a very popular one. Lord of the Oasis, but that's a completely different genre going into more empire building, such as The Kingdom's Bloodline, Chronicles of Guhai, Grandmaster Strategist, Otherworldly Evil Monarch. Those are other titles, famous titles of different genres. So we have a god level web novel, so obviously there's going to be religion and faith. We saw that with Plant Controller. Cthulhu Gonfalon is probably the one I'll refer to the most. But recently, a more N plus 2 level web novel, which draws upon those tropes such as Sword of Daybreak, World of Deities and Sword of Daybreak are N level web novels. N plus 1 would be Cthulhu Gonfalon. And then the Alien Land Reclamation of Vegetable Growing Skeletons, that's an N plus 2. That's a recent web novel. It builds upon this complexity, like The Lord's Empire or The World Online. These are all DD level video games, VR MMOs, but also that system where it goes based on empire building. You're slowly leveling up. Goblin Kingdom would be N or N plus 1 because it's slightly more complex than base level, even though they're fundamental chronologically, they came before. But these are unique web novels that showcase the godhood system, these leveling systems. Then you have the mages genre, right? The mages genre really reminded me of a Sorcerer's Journey. And the reason why Sorcerer's Journey stuck out to me was the quote by Archimedes, or the quote inspired by Archimedes, "Grant me infinite knowledge, and I shall be as a fulcrum to move the and I shall be as a fulcrum to move the endless world." I think this comes from the original quote, which don't quote me on this, but from memory, something like, "Give me a lever, give me a fulcrum and a lever long enough, and I shall move the world," right? And that was said by Archimedes because he was talking about mechanical principles of mechanical force, probably requiring a movable force of F equal ma, because the mass of the object is so high that you need a lot of force to move that mass, even for a little bit of acceleration. But even just a little bit of force will require an acceleration on that mass. So that's a Sorcerer's Journey, and this goes down the whole route of Mage's web novel. So Sorcerer's Journey, I think, would be N plus one. You have things like the Magus Era, Warlock of the Magus World, which goes on to the AI chip. So this is like the old genre of web novel, Mystical World, Avalon of the Five Elements, Assassin's Chronicle. This one, actually, I would say it's very close to Assassin's Chronicle, which Assassin's Chronicle, if you go down the Assassin's route, leads you down to Otherworldly Evil Monarch, but then you have the more recent Japanese isekai, the reincarnated assassin in a noble's family, Count's family, Eminence in the Shadows, Trash of the Count's family, it always leads back to there. The Wizard World, Mystical Journey, Badge in Azure, and there was another one. It was like Star something. It was called Master of the Stars, right? So we go through all the popular titles of Shirin Empire, Lord Empire game, whatever, a Magical Industrial Empire, so on and so forth. So that covers the major genre, because obviously we have a very smart protagonist, calculating, rational protagonist that does a lot by the book. Very magic, right? A level N plus 2 web novel would be Mage Adam, which is a much more recent web novel title. Game of the World Tree, another god level web novel would be N plus 1. Actually, I think would be N plus 2. I want to categorize it as N, but things like N would N level web novels would be God Rank Hero. What's the Hunter one on Volare? But that's a VR MMO. Yeah, Godly Hunter. So a lot of no nomenclature of the Night would be is an iteration of Spare Me, Great Lord. It's the next work of Spare Me, Great Lord's author. Is it like Mjolnir or something? I confuse Starrank Hunter's author with Nomenclature of the Night's Hunter because they previously wrote Spearmint Great Lord. So by chronological order and even order of complexity, Nomenclature would be slightly more difficult. We have one of those strong, weak to strong protagonist, kill the hero. But as I said, we're looking in the Chinese genre, so we have a little bit of different comparison benchmarks. But that's like the broken godhood path to mages route. And then we have a little bit of that business aspect to it, right? That's why I mentioned losing money to be a tycoon, which innovated that whole system, seized by the system. I am a god, a valiant life, that goes down more the life route, even treasure hunter, something like that. And then a lot of the more mystical web titles would be Extraordinary Sailing, Virtual World White-Haired Emperor. So we have a little, I thought that was maybe a route this web novel was going to take with the undead route. But it goes, see, this is why I had trouble with this web novel, because I thought it was going to go like the Evil Energy Does Not Deceive Me, where we get to a lot of harem and drama. But thankfully, I was proven wrong, and a lot of the aspects of the web novel are quite strong. As I said, Blackstone Code, Nuclear Dragon, Apocalypse Dragon, Assassin's Pride. It's got a lot of the strengths of those web novels, where there's a level of increasing events happening, and then our main character is going to get embroiled in them. A lot of the classic web novels, like When a Mage Revolts, Mystical Journey, and whatnot, starts off in the slums, and then you slowly start to go up from there. And our protagonist is a legendary, right? So he's not a mortal. He's above a protagonist, main character, but he's not quite a god. So he's trying to become a god, and then we see a lot of these tendencies come out. I thought he was going to be Negris from Alien Reclamation, a Bifacial Skeleton, like the god of knowledge. So he's going to be like this magic stick where he had a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of power to influence it. But after chapter 880, you kind of see his characterization of how they play this immortal smart lich. They do characterization really well and the power level really well. He's not like super overpowered among his undead friends, right? The Undead League. And we don't go the Reverent Insanity route where it's super smart protagonist, but like super ruthlessly dark. Reverent Insanity was like much more evil aligned. This one's much more neutral or neutral lawful style web novel. So he's not like quite, and this goes back to the Wuxia President of Light and Dark, right? You have the Order faction, which follows all the laws of morality, but within those laws of morality, there's still a lot of political intrigue, infighting, political backstabbing, and all that, right? So that's the law and order side, and then you have the chaotic or evil side, which is where might is right? So there's less order, and a lot of it's by power, but they have their own code of laws, right? You have the Necromancer School, which is like not well looked upon. You have the Vampiric School, and so on and so forth. Since this isn't Wuxia, we're not going down like the various goo and the poison, and this is much more magical and Western fantasy system, so it's much more vampires, ghouls, undead, liches, all that sort of magic and phylactery. So they're very classic D&D levels. But yeah, it's very interesting. Our character has a very, not, I wouldn't say a flexible moral code, but he's much more in that central adventure route, and he's a little bit progressive in like the modern sense, but like still a ruthless businessman. So whether you consider that like chaotic, lawful evil, or like lawful good or whatever, he's somewhere on that alignment chart. By D&D standards, he's lawful evil because he's an undead creature, but then that goes into the racism thing and all that. So it's very interesting to see our character. He's money grubbing, so that's very interesting. Kind of like a virtual world white-haired emperor, versatile mage. Those would be N level web novels, N plus one, because of the whole is connection with money, right? You would see that in the Plant Controller or Game of the World Tree, where money is an integral part of the character's personality, as you would see in Legendary Moonlight Sculptor, right? Even Solo Leveling, that's another N level web novel I would compare it to. To magic systems such as Extraordinary Sailing and Magical Industrial Empire. In terms of empire building, it doesn't go that far. It's much more power focus centered, so like Nuclear Dragon, where you have a very strong protagonist trying to level up, so that's why I would compare this to Mage Adam. But yeah, it was a very unique web novel with the direction they took it in. Let me see if I could find the other summary of it. The other summary that really attracted me was this summary that said Amber Xu made a vow that as long as the funds are in the place, even the gods will move for you. And this is a reference to if you give enough money, even the devils will Mill grindstone, that's a very famous Chinese quote, just like Jing Zi Zong Hui Fa Guang, gold will always shine. I completely missed the metaphor with cynicism of the chicken noodle soup of finding, diamonds in the rough. Going back to like finding good web novels, right? Like sometimes I find an unpolished gem or an uncut gem, like something that's still being written. And, even if it's not a diamond, it may still be a gold nugget or a piece of gold, right? And this goes back to the saying, gold always shines. And there's this counterculture or poisonous chicken soup based on Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul, that English book series. A poisonous chicken noodle soup was much more cynical. It said, yeah, gold will always shine, but a stone never shines. So even if you think a piece of stone is a piece of gold, if it's always a stone, then it won't shine. So that was like the cynical counter thing to it. But this one was very interesting. There's a lot of comedy elements to it. So this lich needs money. The title is fitting for its comedy style, but it's not focused on comedy so much like a virtual world white-haired emperor. Nor is it as serious like Magical Industrial Empire or Release the Witch, but it strikes that good balance of adventure and journey of the character's growth throughout the story, as you'd see in Assassin's Pride and a lot of Mage's Web novel. And then obviously there's always going to be a lot of external forces such as gods. This is why I didn't really like the web novel. Any web novel with forces such as gods, such as Sword of Daybreak, those inevitably become very antagonistic toward the protagonist, who has their own agenda and goals, which can be really frustrating sometimes because the gods kind of feel overpowered, as you would see in Sword of Daybreak, where evil energy does not deceive me. Evil energy does not deceive me was interesting because it was a derivative, or the other word is fan fiction, of World of Warcraft, and it was a very interesting augmented universe similar to Conan's Snake Disease. I do read fan fiction from time to time, and they're very well written because they get up hundreds of chapters and they really have time to develop the characters. But anything with gods will always have god level interference, and that never feels good on a web novel, because then it feels like there's a something that the protagonist can't prevent. If it's like an apocalypse, then it's like something you can deal with, but a god, like there are certain rules, and it kind of feels Deus Ex Machina like, where it's like they're just immovable forces, right? Cthulhu Gone Falone. Like eventually you'll get there, but it's like it's so far in the future that it just seems impossible. Like it takes so long and so much build up that it's just frustrating. I had a similar problem with Reverend Insanity, where the gods were just like so overpowered, and there's so much hidden from you, like in Chronicles of Guhai. When the power difference is too high, yes, it's a good goal, but leave that tension up for long enough and you just get really frustrated with the story. So that was the whole god route for this lich needs money. But then he gathers his own group. You slowly see that power level. Things start to turn up in our main character's favor, and that was very fun to watch. It was fun to watch a character's personality, our main character's personality, kind of like come into its own. We see a lot of, there's so much mysteries actually hidden. You don't think there's that much mysteries in the first 20 chapters, but over time, the author slowly drip feeds you and trickles in these little bits of information that add context to the story. And rather than a pure wuxia web novel where things just happen, like because our main character has already established himself as an elderly protagonist or a person who's lived a lot in this world, that as we as readers slowly start to see the things that has happened, right? Like retirement life of the retirement life of the evil leader, that one was went pure into mystery, and so it's just pure conflict resolution. Where this one is, there's a lot of information, but there's a lot of events happening, so it's not completely boring, and there's enough of the backstory to explain away the mysteries, and that's what makes this story so interesting and why I wanted to cover it so much, right? This lich needs more money. Eventually, his power becomes integral and entwined with wealth and like Lord of Coin. But as I said before, there's like godly interference. So we saw it with Cthulhu Gone Falone, Game of the World Tree, where we have these various political factions, right? There's the good and evil. We saw this with Plant Controller, where you have our main character being pulled and tugged away between all these forces. And one thing I admired about this web novel was how it dealt with prophecy. Now, I've read a couple of interesting web novels, such as Noble Mage Behind the Scenes, where you have foresight, and there's a School of Prophecy. There was even a very unique web novel I can't remember the title for. It's not like Farmer of Shu-Han or like one of the ancient Chinese empire building web novels, which the gimmick was the main character had the power to control luck. And I'm not talking Reverend Insanity, oh, slightly luckier. No, like luck was an actual force, like, the force of fate, right? And you could kind of control and see that. We saw a little bit of that in Noble Mage Behind the Scenes in A Library of Heaven's Path, but this one was so much more direct and so much more unique. I just can't remember the title of the web novel, and it eventually got dropped. And the reason why I can't find the web novel is not because I didn't bookmark it, but because I replaced bookmarks with Google Activity, which used to be able to store upwards of like 300 days worth of Google search history. Now it only stores up 90. So after 90 days, any web novels that I've read have completely lost. And because I never bookmark any of my web novels, because you never know if a web novel is going to be good enough to like go back to. So I don't bookmark it, or I don't have the habit of bookmarking all my stories. So I kind of lose a lot of, I should actually bookmark more web novels, but I did lose that Fate web novel that was very unique and very interesting, but hopefully I'll rediscover that or someone will find that. But this Lich Needs More Money has a very interesting approach to the School of Prophecy, which was our main character was once entwined with the School of Prophecy. He was going to level up, become a demigod or a legendary character. So, above the heroes or the protagonists above. So mortal, mage, right? Then the protagonist, because the protagonist is always constantly leveling up to demigod, aka legend status. And then you have the godhood and then the various levels of god of order, the god of, yeah, the god of everything, which is Om or whatever, like that level of D&D. So he was originally of the Prophet School, which you learn around in chapter 60. But he, the one of the problems with prophecy is the more you learn about fate, the more feedback you give to fate. So like the more control fate has over you, right? So it comes to this idea of predestination and Calvinism, where it's like if you eventually divine your fate as that you're going to die, what can you do about it except accept it, right? Because we're all going to die eventually, but if it's shown in fate, then you can't resist it, right? Even if you see it, because you saw it has to come true. That's the whole feedback of fate. And it really expands into that idea and that backstory. There's a couple interesting stories in here that I want to leave it for you to read, because there's so many interesting characters. There's a Headless Horseman, a Bone Dragon, Lord of Roses, which is, as I said, you'll have to read it to actually figure it out. This is one thing of different from makes web novels different from anime is that actually you have to be careful with spoilers because I don't want to summarize things and I want you to read it. But this Lich Needs More Money is really fun and it's only 100 chapters, so it's pretty brand new. Blackstone Code recently got translated, so it's very nice to see Lynch with the original title, which makes me think of Peter Lynch. I really should actually reread Blackstone Code and see if it's worth reading and whether it's worth promoting. But this Lich Needs More Money was so unique in the way it dealt with all these economic systems, right? Because obviously you see that a lot with Release the Witch, Magical Industrial Empire, Kingdom's Bloodline with Thales, Sword of Daybreak. Sword of Daybreak was also unique as well. They had some great stories too. It was like Sam, Extraordinary Sailing, where it builds up that economic engine powerhouse. And you slowly change the economic system with like the God of Faith, bringing culture to another world, cultural invasion to another world. That one dealt with like the God of Entertainment. I Am the God of Games dealt with that idea of entertainment as a force. Oh my gosh, I Am the God of Games had so much potential. I'm so sad that got dropped. But this Lich Needs More Money is covers all these camps of mages, right? From Mage Adam to what are the other mages' web novels? Throne of Magical Arcana, right? The Wizard World, which is AI computer chips. Chronicles of Ryan the Wizard. Witch of the Cyberpunk Era. That's a recent web novel. That's N plus two. As I said, there's a lot of titles I've read, but I just haven't discussed. That one's a fun one. Cyber Heroes. These are much more podcasts because these are just too long to put into a video. That was a fun one actually. Podcast is much more my low effort style stuff, but I've recently tried to make more videos. A lot of fun ones. I think there's like Neon Punk. There's like guns and guns, gunpowder, and something else. There's a fun Neon Punk web novel with a similar thing to Witch of the Cyber Era. If it ever gets translated, I'll be able to like cover that a little bit more. So trying to stay ahead of the curve. Salmon of the Burnt Desert was really fun. But this Lich Needs More Money is really fun. It's not too comedic because there's an adventure, there's an A plot. And then because our characters lived so long, we actually slowly get trickles of his story. And he's not all powerful. The power leveling, the power dynamic is so great because he's not powerful enough to change the world. So he's like just weak enough that there's actually a route and we just are thrust into the middle of his journey of becoming a god. But we don't have the boring part of how he became a legendary hero. Because like in chess, a lot of web novels, they have a very similar beginning. Well, there's cheating orphanage, reincarnated, right, and then slowly power leveling up. It just skipped all that preamble, and we just directly get thrust into a unique environment, as you should with a hook and an interesting character. And because it builds upon all those previous web novels, as I mentioned before, N level web novels, N plus one level web novels, I place this in a category N plus two level web novel in terms of complexity and chronological order that, when the next generation or next innovative web novels comes along, this will become an N plus one or an N level. So as I said, N series web novels is much more about a series of complexity and chronological order of when they came out. Something like Tale of Hurting Gods, Black Internet Tech Cafe, those would be N level web novels, even though I want to place it as N plus one because the level of complexity are so high compared to things like Supergene, and then there's like the Space one, right? Those great web novels, Pluto, the Space Generals, that's a fun one. So yeah, I think that's about it for Lich Knees Were Money. I did cover enough of the points I wanted to go about. You have a very, I wouldn't say morally corrupt, but a very rational protagonist, slowly fighting the world and going upon his own journey. And it's just that style of web novel where it's like we're not starting off super underpowered, but it is a little bit of a weak to strong. We see a lot of the political aspects. As you'll see, it comes into its own. It's not, the Grandmaster Strategist. I give those titles for reference, like The Lord's Empire, Goblin Kingdom, so you kind of know what style story that is. There are certain elements that are in here, but it also adds its own innovations and it has its own story. It doesn't just retell. I don't like to read stories that retell the same thing over and over again. Even the moderations of it, iterations of it, like I have a hard time reading, what is it, My Vampire System? What's the popular web novel nowadays? I forget what the popular ones are because I'm just not in the know. I stopped after the pandemic. Solo Leveling, yeah, I guess, but that's not like the popular ones. What's Dark Mages Returns? That's I don't think that's really that's the most popular one. Let's see here. Shadow Slave. Yeah, Shadow Slave and Supreme Magus. Those are the popular titles. But back then on Royal Road, it was like the Perfect Run was pretty popular. Vanquir the Dragon, that's on Tapas. That got moved to Tapas now. What are the other titles? There was a Loki. It was like The Tale of Gods, Etzoli, that was Epilogue. Who Cares? Andrew used to be a very popular author. Mother of Learning and Worm, but those are like really early 2012 web fictions. We're talking before even Royal Road. Mother of Learning was a pretty popular one. Spells Analyst. I had a few titles, but those go way back when. But yeah, so that's. I don't think I have too much more to say. I teased a lot of fun characters out, didn't I? Lord of Roses, Headless Horseman, Bone Dragon. And some other very, as I said, chapter 20 to 60 is the meat of it because that's like the introduction arc. 60 to 80 is a little bit rough from my end. As I said, I only have 100 chapters to work with, but I can kind of get a sense of it is. But after I got out of like the post-awkward chapters of 60 to 80 to try and determine what direction this web novel was in, after chapter 100, I was very optimistic. I still think it has a little bit too much elements of like evil energy will not defile you, and there's a succubus web novel that I can't remember. Not a central web novel, but more like that was just the gimmick to describe his powers of high charisma and the female characters. It went a harem route, that's why I didn't really like it that much. There was like this strong magician one of the Empire, I can't quite remember off the top of my head. Yeah, this Lich Needs More Money, definitely very fun. If you want a more darker web novel, I'd suggest something like The Black Card. That was the Card Apprentice, but The Black Card, that was some N-level web novels back in the day. Although their complexity would be considered N plus one. Losing Money to the Tycoon would be N plus one because it came later than The Black Card. But I think in terms of complexity, The Black Card had so many much more interesting tropes. But you can see how Losing Money to the Tycoon built on that. I Want to Make Games, that was a really fun one as well. I still think that, like, as I said, N level is not just chronological, it's also in terms of complexity, and like which one's more interesting or unique to me, or interesting to me. So it's kind of like a tier list. But yeah, this Lich Needs More Money, really fun. Sorry, I'm trying to remember. 这个巫妖, 得加钱, or 要加钱. I feel like 要 should be a better word. And it's by written by 九命胖猫, so the ninth life of a fat cat. And yeah, I'll quickly go over the summary one last time just to help you read it. One of it is with three sentences, he made a paladin pay him 5,000 pieces of 5,000 gold coins. He's an undead master who's proficient in human nature, right? And the other one is Ambrose Yu made a vow, as long as the funds are in place, even the gods, he'll even fight the gods or something like that. I'm not very, that good at translation. The gods will break it for you. That's like the direct translation. But yeah, really fun web novel. I don't have much more to say, so we'll stop here.